Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin's back and regretting that he showed up. He brought to the table today a series of very important topics to discuss. Topics that swing the balance of power in sports today, such as why name it the College Football Playoff, let's vote for the logo, and things like that. Stupid me, I'd rather just see the game.
And this is the sound that Steve made for the last hour on every one of those. That's the sound of the vacuum sucking the life out of me.
Ray Dittinger joins us to talk about the Eagles and tomorrow's NFL draft. Ray, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, nice to be back, fellas.
Well, I want to get to, let's start with the Philadelphia part of it, obviously. You know, with Chip there, is Chip the one that really in the end will make a decision as to what they're going to do, or is it, or is he just going to consult on how to do this thing?
Well, he's obviously going to have input, but I really think the call will be made by Howie Roseman. He's the general manager. They've made him the general manager. They've given him, you know, when Jeff Lurie made the change and released Andy Reid and brought in Chip Kelly and Joe Banner left, Jeff talked about streamlining the operation in terms of personnel, and what that meant was just getting fewer people out of the decision-making process and just sort of letting one person, entrusting one person to make the call. And, you know, unless I'm reading it wrong, I think that's Howie Roseman. So, I mean, they'll all have input. They've been studying this stuff now for months. They claim that they've got their board together. They feel pretty comfortable with the information they have. They're going to discuss every scenario, including a possible trade down out of the four spot. But when it comes to absolutely the guy who stands up and pounds his fist on the table and says, this is what we're doing, I think that's going to be Howie Roseman.
If they do hang at four, what do you think?
Well, it depends on what's there. They would love to see it. They would love to see one of the two offensive tackles still be alive at that point.
Fisher or Jokel.
Yeah. I mean, if Jokel goes number one overall to Kansas City, which I still think is what's going to happen, then if Eric Fisher stays in play through two more picks and he's still alive at four, you know, that's really, honestly, from the Eagles' standpoint, that's the best-case scenario because two things will happen. You know, they'll either have an opportunity to get a really good player in Eric Fisher, or there are going to be an awful lot of teams ringing their phone, making offers to trade up to that spot to take Eric Fisher. So they'll be able to leverage a lot of offers against each other, and if they want to do a trade down, come away with a pretty good package. So I think that's what they're kind of what they're hoping for. Now, their plans could really be to take a hit if, let's say, Jokel goes one and Fisher goes two, and they're both gone through the first three picks. You know, then your options at four become a little more limited because I don't think there's going to be as much traffic for teams wanting to get up to make a pick there if those two guys are off the board. Maybe some teams will be interested in Lane Johnson, but I don't think it's going to be the same number of teams or the same kind of offers being made as if somebody felt they had a shot at either Jokel or Fisher.
CSNPhilly.com insider for the Eagles, Ray Dittinger, joins us, and of course he knows the landscape up here extremely well. Ray, the next part of this is, say they do, you know, they do move down, they get multiple picks. In the end, can that be a great scenario for a team that appears to have a lot of needs on the board?
Well, yeah, but you have to be real careful about doing it. I mean, you right. can't, at four, you're going to have an opportunity to get a really good player, and you know, there's something to be said for just staying there and taking a really good player. You can be too cute by half if you start trading down and trying to acquire picks and telling yourself, look, we have a lot of needs and let's just keep adding picks, because you really have to think it out. I mean, you really, really have to think it out. You have to consider, okay, how far down can we afford to trade? You know, you don't want to trade below this point. Let's say we don't want to go below 12 or we don't want to go below 14. And if we do go there, then what do we realistically think is going to be available to us? If these three or four players are going to be there, how good do we feel about taking those guys? If where teams get into trouble is if teams just all of a sudden get an offer and say, yeah, that's good, let's trade out, because I'm pretty sure player X is going to be there at whatever number. And then you get down there, and all of a sudden somebody takes that guy right before you, and now you're on the clock, and the guy you thought you were going to get is gone, and now what do you do? And that's sometimes where you see teams just panic, and they trade down yet again to buy a little more time. As it turns out, at the end of the day, you had the fourth pick in the draft, and you walk away with not much of anything. So if you're really going to do the trade down, and some teams have done it successfully and really benefited by it, but if you're going to do it, you really have to think it through and know exactly how far down you're prepared to go and what your options are likely to be when you get there. This is not a fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants kind of thing. Right. If you're not really sure what you're going to get down lower, then you're better off just staying at four and taking a good player.
And especially, does it even lend more to stay at four because many do not consider this to be a deep draft?
Well, I actually think it's deeper than it is heavy in star quality. I think there's really good depth, especially at certain positions. I think this is, you know, you don't often talk about there being really good drafts at the safety position, but this is one.
Right.
It's not particularly good at corner, but it's very good at safety. You have some good pass rushers, and you really do have very, very good offensive linemen. There's really good tackles here. The top three are very good players and really good guards. I really love the two guards that I have at the top of my board in Chance Warmack
and Jonathan Cooper.
I think they're both outstanding players who are going to come into the NFL and be, you know, those Will Shields kinds of guys. You know, guys going to play for 10 years and make 8 Pro Bowls. I think they're both that kind of player. Now, people don't generally think about drafting guards in the first round, much less high in the first round. But if you're talking about drafting guys that you feel confident are going to come in and play and you don't have to worry about making a mistake, then those two players are among the sure bets on the board. So, yeah, I think this is a draft that doesn't have the real marquee value of last year's draft that had Luck and RG3 and all those guys. But I think in terms of depth in the trenches, you know, guys on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage and at the deep safety position, I think it's a real good draft, one of the better ones in recent years, I think.
Yeah, in fact, Warmack, obviously, I've seen him a couple of times in person because Penn State played Alabama
right. In
back-to-back years, so know of the quality of him. You mentioned the quarterback part of it. Obviously, this is an odd quarterback draft. It seems like nobody has a real read on this group of quarterbacks. Is that accurate in terms of, like solid feel, like, you know, this is a franchise kind of guy?
You know, I think they've got a read on it, and it's not good.
Right, okay.
You know, I think that, I mean, the teams have certainly studied these guys thoroughly. And you got teams that have been trying to make a case for wanting to draft a quarterback high, and they just can't do it. That guy just isn't in this draft, I don't think. And it's particularly, you know, it's particularly glaring when you contrast it to last year where you had – you really had Luck and RG3 right at the top that you knew were guys that were going to be good players, and you had a prospect like Tannehill that you thought could come in and play like he did. And then, you know, you have a kid like Russell Wilson who comes in the third round, takes the team to the playoffs. I mean, last year was just an extraordinary quarterback draft, I think. But that doesn't mean you're going to have that every year. And this year is not very good. I mean, when I looked at it and I started giving grades to my guys, I mean, I have Geno Smith as my highest-rated quarterback,
right. And
yet I have him only as the 23rd best player in the draft. So, I mean, and I don't have any other quarterbacks even in the first round, given a first-round grade. I mean, E.J. Manuel is a real good talent. He's got great size, and he certainly had his moments during his college career and had a very good Senior Bowl. But there's still a lot of work that needs to be done with him. You know, Matt Barkley is a guy who there are some things about him that I like. I think he's a smart kid. I think he has a nice touch on the ball. He anticipates things well. I just don't know if he has an NFL caliber arm. You know, some people really like Mike Glennon. I think he's a little mechanical for my taste.
Right.
You know, Ryan Nassib is a guy that's really risen up a lot of boards. And it wouldn't surprise me if Nassib is the second quarterback off the board. I still think Geno will be number one. I still think Geno is going to be the first quarterback taken. But I think Nassib very well could be the second quarterback taken. And I think when it's all said and done, the likelihood, if I were to bet, I think he's probably going to wind up in Buffalo playing for his old coach Doug Marrone up there.
Right, and he obviously knows he has literally hours and hours of tape on him because he lived it his entire career up there.
Sure.
The next part of the for you, what has changed in how you approach pre-draft now compared to maybe, let's say, 20, 25 years ago?
Well, I guess it's just the amount of information that's out there,
right,
and the amount of testing that's done and the scrutiny. And I think it's both a blessing and a curse. You know, I think sometimes the more information you gather, the farther away you get from the truth.
Right.
You know, I sometimes think that we've tried to turn this personnel evaluation business into a science, and it's never going to be a science. I think sometimes you just have to recognize that it's football, and sometimes what your eye tells you just watching these guys play the game is a truer indicator of what they're going to be in the NFL than all the vertical jumps and three cone drills you can put them through. You know, I think the more we've tried to quantify this and make it a science and make it a business of tape measures and stopwatches, the more we've talked ourselves into making mistakes on guys. I've always been a minimalist when it comes to this. I just you know, you watch tape, you watch guys play during the season, then you watch tape on them after the season, and you just get an evaluation of how durable they are, how productive they are, how well do they play the game, how well do they play in the fourth quarter of games, how well do they play against the better competition. It's not that hard. It's really about it just getting guys that are good football players, not necessarily guys that are decathletes, or not getting guys that are, you know, super athletes or projections. You know, the more I hear guys talking now, I keep hear guys talk about upside. This guy has tremendous upside. You know, and the classic case this year is Ziggy Ansah, you know, who is the defensive end from BYU. Everybody's talking about his upside because he's such a almost freakish kind of athlete with his size and his speed. And people keep projecting what he can be and what he can be, but he's hardly played any football. And I think sometimes when you base everything on upside, you're basically basing it on what you think a guy can be. And I would sooner base my decisions based on what I've already seen him do. I think I'm more a draft on production rather than potential kind of guy. But I think more and more with the draft, we're getting into areas where we're just projecting what guys can be. And I think when you do that, you run the risk of making big mistakes.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's, I'm with you, especially if I've seen a guy in person, I can get a read. And when I take, for example, let's take a guy like Barrett Jones. Mm-hmm. Barrett Jones will probably be, what, a second, third-round pick maybe
yes,
fourth?
That's probably just about right.
Yeah. He's just Saturday. He's going to be in the league for a long time. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Guy like Jordan Hill's not ranked in the top 10 among defensive tackles. I'm telling you right now, the guy can play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have not seen a lineman, and I saw the 10 guys in here. And Jack Ham's talked about this, so I'll take, obviously, I'll steal, obviously, his wisdom in this. Use a defensive lineman, use his hands as well as he does. I mean, there's little things like that, which you can't put on a clock, and you can't, you know, put a tape measure on a guy.
No doubt. I agree with you. I think that I think Jordan Hill is a guy that will probably get underdrafted. He'll probably wind up being drafted lower than he should, and yet he's going to make a team, and he's going to be a good player. I mean, you see those guys every year. I mean, a couple years ago when the Eagles drafted Jason Kelce.
Right.
I mean, I had seen him play in college, and I really liked him. And it's funny you evoke the name Jeff Saturday, because when I watched him play in college, I thought, man, this guy is just he's a clone of Jeff Saturday. I mean, he even looks like him.
Right.
But just real smart. His hand position was really good. His snaps were really true. He was a smart guy who set up the protections all the time. You could just see that he was just a natural born center. And everybody was worried about, was he big enough? Was his size? Well, he was big enough, but he went to the combine and he got sick, so he wasn't able to work out. Then he lost a lot of weight with his illness, and so in his individual workouts, you know, he didn't do enough reps at the 220 bar. So, you know, then his stock fell some more. The Eagles wound up getting him in the sixth round, but when they opened the season, he was their starting center. And I really feel that by the end of that season, at the end of his rookie season, I think he was one of the best centers in football. I think he's on his way to being a Pro Bowler. But you know, again, we got back to, well, he's a little bit shorter than we like, and he doesn't quite weigh what we want. And, you know, I just don't know if he's got this or he's got that. And, you know, if you just watch him play, either with either live or on film, you just say he's got what it takes to play that position. And sometimes you just have to push all the other stuff aside, and you just have to, you know, watch a guy. You have to put the tape on and just watch him play the game. I always remember that when I was first started covering the Eagles back in the early 70s, they had a scout named Charlie Gower, who we were talking about the draft, and we're talking about a guy that they're drafting, an offensive lineman. And I was talking about, you know, the amount of weight that he lifted, that he was like a 400-pound power lifter. And I was saying I was really impressed by that. And Charlie said to me, he said, look, we're not asking him to lift Bob Lilly. We want him to block him. You know, and sometimes you kind of have to do that. You just have to get away from all that stuff and just say, what are we asking him to do? We're looking for football players. And if you just keep it simple like that, I think you're probably going to make fewer mistakes.
We're on the same page. Ray, thanks so much. An absolute pleasure. I know you're very busy, and we appreciate the time you gave us.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Anytime, fellas.
Once again, Ray Dittinger, Eagles draft. Great to talk with him. Did he throw a wet blanket on anything? I mean, this has been a wet blanket show for you.
No, no. You were asking questions. That's why it wasn't a wet blanket moment.
I see.
It's when I ask the questions and you answer them, that's when the wet blanket happens.
Yes, but see, like, to you, on draft day, like, the biggest story to you is that Jacksonville changed their helmets.
Or that Seattle has better uniforms this past year than the year before?
Silly me, I'm sitting there wondering what they're going to do with the second overall pick.
I'll worry about that when it's their turn to pick. Actually, I probably won't worry about it then either.
No, you'll be texting me tomorrow night, and you'll say, look how hideous those helmets are.
I haven't seen the helmet yet. Did they change? Is it that bad?
They did. They changed the helmet and the uniform yesterday.
That's Jacksonville.
They introduced it yesterday. Jacksonville did that. So once you look up JacksonvilleJaguars.com, and you will get a chance to see.
We may have
exactly
to post that.
What they have.
Yeah, we may have to post that as well at SteveJonesShow.com. By the way, if you'd like to vote the way I did, as I did, on the college football playoff logo, you can do that at SteveJonesShow.com. Steve will not be voting. So that's just one less person you have to fight with to get the vote.
You're trying to make this an interactive show, right?
Not for you. It wouldn't be interactive. I don't see it. All I can see, let's see. Oh, there. Oh, wait. Hold on. There's the uniform. Ew. Oh. That's horrendous.
Brutal, huh?
That is horrendous.
Well, you know what's horrendous? Watching them play. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Well, Kevin has now looked at the Jacksonville Jaguars helmet. We might as well go into the – I asked, you know, Ray Dittinger and I kind of swapped questions and answers about the NFL draft. We threw out some names, philosophy, and so forth. Now let's get to what you like to talk about. How cute are the Jacksonville uniforms?
No, I don't like – they're awful. I mean, well, the jersey's not bad. I just don't see a whole lot of Jacksonville fans sitting in the early part of the season wearing the black jerseys with the turquoise shoulders, but it's the helmet. I mean, when you said gold helmet, I was assuming that there was like a home and away helmet. One was black and one was gold, and it's not. It's actually half gold, half black. The gold is in the back, then the Panther head comes out, or I'm sorry, the Jaguar head comes out into the black front of the helmet. Ugh.
Right.
Oh, man, that is, it's not Maryland ugly, but it ain't pretty.
Exactly. Kevin also is pushing for the Olympic Games to be in Philadelphia. He was with a group in Philadelphia yesterday. Even they refused to talk about it.
No, they felt it was too early to discuss it. It's not they didn't want to talk about it.
I don't know where you put it. Look, I mean, New York has tried for years on the Olympic Games. And I don't know.
But I think part of the problem with New York is they've had some Olympic Games on the winter side, and I think that the IOC is trying to go somewhere different.
It's been 33 years since Lake Placid.
Yeah, what was it? 30 years between between Olympic Games in Lake Placid.
Yeah, but. You know, it's
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so I keep telling Kevin, like, if they pick Jarvis Jones of Georgia, it's a great pick. And he says he has baggage.
Baggage.
Okay? This is not the choir boy football league here.
But if he's being fined all the time and suspended, it doesn't do you any good to have him on your team, does it?
You're used to it. You're used to it. You've got James Harrison for years.
Yeah, but he's gone now, so you don't have to worry about it.
Need somebody to fill the role.
No, thank you very much, but we'll pass.
Sorry, the dude's a football player. He is a legit first-round talent. You know, Bill Polian says there are 10, 12 first-round talents in this draft. He's one of them. You know, I'm just telling you, unless you'd like to get Manti Te'o.
No. No, I do. I'm fine without that. And by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars new uniform, as well as vote for the new playoff logo. I'm sorry, the new college playoff logo.
That's fabulous. Fabulous. So you want them to draft somebody?
I'd like to go defense.
What do you think Jarvis Jones is?
I know, but I'd like to go defense to somebody who's not going to potentially spend time in prison.
I'd take my chances.
Call me crazy. I'd like to see him play.
I'm just telling you. I take my chances. I think this guy's a real player. They draft him. I think that's a step in the right direction for the franchise.
Yeah. Keenan Allen?
Yeah,
right.
What?
A wide receiver would be nice too if you don't go if you're not comfortable with Jones. I mean, I'd be all right with Keenan Allen.
You don't need a wideout. You got Emmanuel Sanders. You're good.
I'm sorry, didn't you just a couple of weeks ago say Xavier Rhodes would be another one? I'd be fine with him, too.
I brought up Xavier Rhodes once in this show.
You have not?
No.
No, I am. That's my point.
Well, Xavier Rhodes is a corner, and he'd be a good choice. I mean, Xavier Rhodes, in all likelihood, will be a late first, early second round pick. I would, you know, and I think he would be a good choice. I think Jarvis Jones is a game-changing choice. I think he's an athlete on the outside at 6'2", 245 pounds, that brings a dimension, especially aggressively, the Steelers are aching for.
I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I would go in that direction. Now, if I'm Philadelphia, I need a left tackle somehow. Hope that, you know, I'm hoping that Eric Fisher drops down to four, although Lane Johnson from Oklahoma is also a very good pick. But that's what I would be hoping for. I would hope that maybe Fisher falls to four. Now, whether he does or not, it's going to be, that's a big if, obviously. Big if. But, you know, that's what I'm looking for from the Eagles. Now, your coveted Steelers, I think there's so many safeties in this draft, quality safeties, and some pretty good corners. There's a better safety than corner draft. How about that? All right. I think that there are enough in the safety category, especially when the Steelers want to go with a sub package, that they can come up with somebody like that. I don't think you can come up with a talent like Jarvis Jones. After round one. Has he been falling on boards? Yeah. But Kevin, every time I watch him, he's making plays. Every time I watch him, he makes plays. See, and I use the eye test. I really don't, you know, the only time I really care about 40 times, for example, is I care a little bit about running backs and wideouts and corners. I care about their 40 times there, unless they have a disastrous 40 time at a linebacking spot or something like that. Okay? So 40 times I'll look at. Bench press reps. Don't care too much about it. If they're all over 20, then I'm all fine. Reason being, it just shows me they've worked out and they're dedicated and they're strong. If they have over 20 at 225 pounds, that's fine. But I want to see what a guy looks like in terms of how he plays the game. Is he instinctive? Is he around the ball? Is he attacking? I'm telling you right now, one of the biggest steals in this draft, who's a big troublemaker in this draft, I'm telling you right now, the team that gets Tyrann Mathieu is going to get somebody that's going to be a football player.
Are you able to draft somebody pending evaluation by a medical staff?
Well, last year, Johnny Trotman was drafted by San Diego, and they knew he had a torn pectoral muscle. They picked him in the fourth round. By the way, speaking of medical, Tim Frazier was granted officially a medical hardship for a fifth year. So that's done. That's now done. Yeah, that is now settled and done.
And by the way, this just in from AccuWeather, there's a severe thunderstorm warning for Union County right now. So some thunderstorms coming through the area again this afternoon, later this afternoon and tonight.
Mm-hmm. Hey, will you watch the draft tomorrow night, or are you just going to watch to see what the draft logo looks like?
No, I'll actually watch the draft tomorrow night. No, I will watch the first round. I am not one that can sit through more than one round, which is kind of why I like the way they have it done now, because you can watch the first round and it's done. And then you come back another day and then you can watch another. Because I cannot, when it was on Saturday, I could not sit there for like 12 to 15 hours. And then the other thing is, why is it that teams that you know who they're going to pick, you know darn well who they're going to pick, why take the full allotted time?
Because they might be involved in working a trade.
No, I don't think so. I mean, that happens. That happens. I understand that. But
a lot of times, you know, they'll reject it. You know, what the heck with it? We're just going to make the pick ourselves. You know, that happens a lot. I mean, people are trying to trade up. You have active teams out there. New England and San Francisco, by the way, being two of them over the years, who have been very active in trying to, you know, group multiple picks and move up and so forth. I mean, that's why you see teams take the full allotted amount of time. It's 10 minutes now. Used to be 15 in the first round.
Oh, I was glad they changed that, too.
I was, too. But I think that's what happens. I think you have a lot of talk about with teams trying to trade, you know, trying to, you know, anticipate what an opponent in front of them is going to do, especially if it's a divisional opponent. They'd like to, you know, group some picks, hop ahead. Or they like to move down. Or some teams are looking to move down because they just, you know, the guy that they want was just taken. So I think that's why you see, you know, them taking 10, you know, the full 10 minutes at times.
I would like to see, when you know who it is, an example last year, when you know who the first couple of picks are going to be, get the pick in, move, then the next team get the pick in, move. Then you can start to, everybody knew, they already basically signed. It's like, why take all the extra time just to, on the off chance that somebody's going to offer you a deal? Keep it
Nobody
moving.
Signed.
I said they all signed. But signed. I said all but signed.
Who's all but signed?
No, last year. Last Who? Year was a perfect example. The first couple of picks were pretty much a lock.
I suppose, yeah.
What do you mean you suppose?
Well, I suppose they were all but locks. I mean, but there was no deal with Andrew Luck before the draft.
Luck had already had his apartment in Indianapolis, and they already gave him a hat.
Yeah, but he didn't have a contract. And if he doesn't have a contract, the Redskins are absolutely not allowed to offer RG3 a contract.
Well, no, I that's what I said. They all but had him signed. I just think that if you know who you're going to pick, pick them. You've had how many months to work a deal? And, you know, I can understand somebody calling you right as you it becomes your pick. Then I can get it, you know. All right, let's talk about a deal. Okay, yeah, we know who. No, we don't like that one. Okay, let's go make the pick.
Did you watch 30 for 30 last night?
Did I what?
Did you watch 30 for 30 last night?
No, I recorded it, but I have not seen it yet.
Okay. Notice all the draft action around Elway and the number of teams that were trying to move up to acquire him with the first overall pick in the draft. Now, it's a different set of circumstances because it's the Colts at the time.
Well, and they
That's
knew
Robert
they were going to
say at the time.
Yeah, but everybody knew that he wasn't going to the Colts, so everybody was trying to get him because they weren't. Either way, he wasn't going to the Colts.
Right, understood, but people were trying to make it. The Colts still drafted him anyway. They didn't make the trade till 6 days later, you know.
Yeah,
they
did you
trade him on draft day.
Did they talk about the reasoning for the trade, what they were going to make the reasoning be? Because he didn't want to play in a cold climate?
Yeah, they claimed that.
That was the best.
What was interesting is that the Colts got Chris Hinton out of that, in that trade. Chris Hinton made the Pro Bowl 7 times. The offensive line. Now, the other guys like Mark Herman and so forth, I mean, they weren't worth whatever. But Chris Hinton ended up being a really good player. He was the 4th overall pick in the entire draft. Ended up being a really good, really good NFL player. I'm not saying the Colts are smart or anything like that, but they actually did end up with somebody that was worth something in that deal. Then, of course, they moved to Indianapolis 1 year afterward. So, but there's always going to be a lot of action. Andrew Luck, for example, okay, is going to bring with him, okay, teams that up to the last minute are trying to offer the Colts multiple picks in order to move up. And you have to remember, for the Colts GM, it's his first draft with the Colts. For Chuck Pagano, it was his first draft as the head coach. You know, because Bill Polian wasn't there any longer, and Jim Caldwell had moved on. And you know, so there was their first draft overall. Now, suddenly, I would guess with having that first overall pick, there are a lot of people out there that wanted Andrew Luck or maybe even wanted RG3. So, yeah, they probably did get some action last year, especially right up to the last minute of trying to, you know, okay, well, we're going to offer you this many picks and so on and so forth for the first overall pick in the draft. So it's not unusual. And like, you know, why do you think that they wait till the last second to bring up the card? Why do you think?
Well, I understand they're trying to look for trades, but if your phone isn't ringing, and I've seen this a lot where the phone doesn't ring.
It's the first overall pick in the draft and a quarterback that people think is a franchise quarterback. Whether you pick RG3 or Andrew Luck.
But you know,
may have had teams. You may have had teams that wanted RG3 and not Luck trying to move into the one spot, knowing the Redskins would take him at two.
But here's the thing. If you trade that away, you knew darn well, unless it was the Redskins, that neither quarterback was going to be there by three. So why would you trade him to anybody but Washington? And when Washington doesn't call you on the phone, you put your card up and you move on.
What round was Russell Wilson taken in?
I have no idea.
Three. I'm a wet blanket, aren't I?
Yeah, it's dripping wet. Here's the thing. Here's what I want from Pittsburgh.
It bothers you, doesn't it? It just bothers you.
Here's what I want from the Steelers.
It bothers you that I have answers. That's what bothers you.
All right. All I want from the Steelers is trade pick 17.
To what? What do you want to do with it?
I want to get more picks out of it.
When's the last time the Steelers traded?
I know that. I realize that. But if you look at the Steelers' needs...
They don't do it.
Okay.
They don't.
All right, riddle me this. All right. Wide receiver. Is this a deep wide receiver draft or not?
You can get wide receivers anytime.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Offensive line... A defensive line.
Well, Jordan Hill's not listed as one of the top 10 defensive line guys. That tells you it's a pretty deep group.
Right. All right. Now, defensive backs, safeties. You talked about that earlier. Safety's a little bit better.
Safety deep, corner no.
Right. Corner no, safety yes. All right. Now, those I think are the biggest needs for Pittsburgh right now. If they're that deep, you trade away number 17, you could get some really big picks and some steals and maybe set yourself up for an extra pick in 14.
They have 8 picks this year. I wouldn't trade it. I get Jarvis Jones and then move on. I've got a Pro Bowl guy I just drafted in the outside linebacker spot.
I just hope he can stay healthy because it's going to be a short career.
Oh, please. You drafted Mendenhall. You don't draft a running back in the first round.
I agree. Totally agree.
I don't even know why these guys have agents, for God's sakes. Because everything's slotted. Really, the first 3 years. Seriously, you're slotted. Your first 3 years, you're locked in. I mean, this the new collective bargaining agreement, which helps the veterans, did nothing for the rookies. The rookie cap and the slotting and everything. You don't need an agent the first 3 years.
Trade it.
You want to trade it?
Trade it.
Hey, that's fabulous.
Grab yourself an extra second round pick.
That's great. And do what with it?
Well, you have to figure that out as time goes on to see what happens in the first round, but there's plenty of players that you need at positions that seem to be fairly deep in this draft. So trading your first round pick and getting a second round and who knows, maybe a late round pick and then one in 14 might be worth the deal.
Keep it. Draft Jarvis Jones. He's better than what you're going to get later. All right. We'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Do you know how much I hope you're wrong?
Sophomore quarterback Stephen Bench has decided he wants to transfer. Along the way, by the way, Zach Zwinak suffered a left wrist injury, and he's on schedule to be ready for the training camp. But Stephen Bench asked for and has been granted his release. So there's the roster change for the Nittany Lions. And that means it's Tyler Ferguson, Christian Hackenberg, now head-to-head. But he met with all the players this week with his evaluation of where they are related to football and academics and discussed what they need to work on in the summer. After the meeting with Steven, he informed me that he wants to play elsewhere. We want to wish the best of him. I want to thank him for his contributions to the program. We wish Steven the best in the future, and we'll assist him in any way we can. A Bench, of course, played against Virginia, against Purdue last year. And Tyler Ferguson and Christian Hackenberg are going to be the ones that will compete for the starting job. So an amazing, as far as I'm concerned, an amazing turn of events, because Stephen Bench had been going along, and was right in the thick of what was going on at the quarterback spot. And has decided he wants to transfer. They had meetings today, and that's what happened. So that changes a lot of things dramatically here in a hurry. Now, one of the things I had pointed out on Monday was that moving forward with the Hackenberg situation, with him coming in late June, is that it was going to come down to two quarterbacks no matter what. There really is not room here for a third quarterback. Now, you want to have a third quarterback waiting in the wings. It's not like you just have two quarterbacks. But when it comes time to practice, that third quarterback is going to be with the scout team and is not going to get reps during the course of the week in practice. It's just the way it is, and that's the way it is in most systems. But Stephen Bench has decided he wants to transfer. And wish him nothing but the best. I think he's a talented kid. I think he throws a good ball, and I think he's I think he moves well outside of the pocket. So there it is, the big story of the day, right at the end of the show. Series of meetings, and it was Stephen Bench that informed the coaches that he wanted to transfer today. He is the son of a high school coach. He brought that kind of acumen to the field that, you know, you can tell usually a coach's kid at times. He brought that to the field. He also, has very good leadership qualities. So wherever he goes, he's going to get a shot at it. But here at Penn State, that changes a lot right away. So there you go. Tomorrow, the NFL draft. Kevin hoping I'm dead wrong about Jarvis Jones. See, that's the kind of relationship we have. He doesn't want me to succeed at golf or in draft picks.
News, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio.